Question. The Vedic scriptures say that the sun and other planets move around the earth, whereas modern science says that the earth moves around the sun. How do we reconcile the contradiction? Answer. Both are tenable models based on the observation of relative motion that we see between, say, the sun and the earth. And it is not that the heliocentric model means the sun is the center, geocentric model is the earth is the center. It is not that either of the models have been conclusively established. So I have posted here several quotes of eminent scientists who have actually pointed out that there are no physical experiments or irrefutable observations which point to the validity of one over the other. So Albert Einstein says in a technical journal, Annalen der Physik, volume 17, 1905, the unsuccessful attempts to establish a motion of the earth. So later on, when he proposed the theory of evolution, he did not actually prove the relative motion. He assumed the relative motion and went forward. Rather, not the relative motion, the motion of the earth around the sun. So Hendrik Lorentz says that briefly everything occurs as if the earth were at rest. This is in Arthur Miller's book Albert Einstein's Special Theory of Relativity. And then there was just one alternative, the earth's true velocity through space might happen to have been nil. This is Arthur Eddington in The Nature of the Physical World. Then Wolfgang Pauli in The Theory of Relativity states that the failure of the many attempts to measure terrestrially any effects of the earth's motion. Then Henri Poincaré is also a famous physicist. And in Scientific Monthly 1956, he states, again there is another quote by Poincaré in Science and Hypothesis. He says that we do not have and cannot have any means of discovery whether or not we are carrying along in a uniform motion of translation. And a great deal of research has been carried out concerning the influence of the earth's movement. The results were always negative. And then we have Albert Michelson, The Relative Motion of the Earth and the Luminous Ferrous Ether, American Journal of Science. So he is saying that this conclusion directly contradicts the explanation which presupposes the earth moves. Then we have Bernard Jaffe and Lincoln Barnett. There are several quotes like that. The data was almost unbelievable. There was only one other possible conclusion to draw, that the earth was at rest. And nor has any physical experiment ever proved that the earth actually is in motion. That's by Lincoln Barnett, The Universe, and Dr. Einstein. So now, this is not to say that all the scientists support the geocentric model. The mainstream scientific opinion today is overwhelmingly in favor of the heliocentric model. But we have to understand that these are models. They are conceptual tools for trying to understand the motions of the motions that are observed in the planet, and to be able to predict cosmic phenomena. So all these scientists, although they prefer the heliocentric theory, they are admitting that there is actually no empirical evidence or experiment which can undeniably establish the earth's motion with respect to the earth is moving around the sun. So the important point here to recognize is that models are conceptual tools to understand reality. They are not the reality. And from the functional perspective, the test of the models is whether they work, whether they have capacity to predict the phenomena that we wish to observe, for example, eclipses and other phenomena. Now, for thousands of years before Galileo, proposed the heliocentric model, the eclipses were predicted, and they were successfully, accurately predicted. Even in the Vedic scripture, Vedic tradition, the Jyotish Shastra, which also uses a geocentric model, and that also was successful in predicting cosmic phenomena quite accurately. So, if we want to consider the utility or validity of a model from its predictive value, then both models have predictive capacity. Now, at that time, when Galileo's the heliocentric model from Galileo Copernicus that won over, that was because it was felt that that has a relative simplicity, that there are certain epicycles which were required in the earlier model which are not required now. But then, actually, he had proposed an elliptical model, an elliptical orbital model, and that was more or less rejected by later scientists. So much of the precise things that Galileo talked about were not accepted. And then Galileo himself withdrew his theory later. Some people say that it was under pressure of the church. But whatever it was, he himself said that this theory is erroneous. And the important point here is that we shouldn't get too caught in models. What is important is that the functional point of view, both are equivalent. Now, I'm also pasting here an extract from Sadaput Prabhu, Richard L. Thompson, who is a Iskcon scientist, and he explains how both the models are functionally equivalent. So normally speaking, if you look at classical physics, whether A is moving with respect to B or B is moving with respect to A, the effect is the same. So then it was felt that this was true for linear motion, but this was not true for rotation of an object around the another, because of the centrifugal force that gets involved. But then he is quoting the physicist Ernst Mach, who pointed out that actually it's not necessarily applying even for the motion of one object around another. So Ernst Mach proposed that that even in case of objects that are, say, A is moving around B, then we, because of A's motion, we would be able to observe the centrifugal force on it, and that would establish that it is A that is in motion. But he said that if A and B were the only two objects in the universe, and if both were of equal mass, then how do we establish which is moving around the other? Because if A were rotating around some other object, the only other object that it could rotate around, essentially what we would have to prove is that essentially what would be happening if there were only two objects in the universe is that one would be revolving around the other. There would be no other reference point for it to revolve under. And then if that were the case, then why would we have to say that it is A that is exhibiting the centrifugal force? Why not say that B is exhibiting the centrifugal force? Now, if we change this into saying that A is an object and B refers to the rest of the universe. So, if A, we could say that A is moving in its position with respect to the rest of the universe, or the rest of the universe is moving with respect to the position of A. And both would be, from the point of view of physical functionality, equivalent. Because there would be no essential way by which we could prove that one is happening and the other is not happening. So, further if we go forward, there are certain experiments which seem to, like Foucault's experiment and the Wien's effect by the Coriolis force. But actually these same experiments, they basically prove relative motion. They don't prove the motion of one object with respect to the other. So these experiments don't necessarily prove that that the Earth is moving within that within the space. They could very well prove that the space is moving with respect to the Earth. So now once we understand the idea of relativity of motion, which is also further substantiated by the theory of relativity, that is too technical to go into over here. But then from the point of view of physical footing, the geocentric and the heliocentric viewpoints become functionally equivalent. And the astronomical siddhantas, they use the geocentric model because this is just more practical. Ultimately, even if you are using the heliocentric model, because we are living on the Earth, we have to calculate ultimately in terms of the Earth and the Earth as a reference point. So why not do it directly? That's why. Now, of course, somebody could refer to the heliocentric perspective by saying that because the Sun is bigger than the Earth, so the Earth should revolve around the Sun. If that is the intuitive feeling that somebody has, the smaller objects revolve around the larger objects, then that's an intuitive feeling, which is okay, but that is, there's no physical grounds for proving that intuitive feeling. And from the Vedic perspective, the Earth is not the universe is not revolving around the Earth specifically, it is revolving around the pole star. And the pole star is more or less in a almost a nearly accurate linear axis, which moves directly from the Earth upwards. So they are more or less in the same vertical axis. So from the functional perspective, it is more or less like the universe moving around the Earth, although not exactly. But for reference purposes, geocentricity can be used, and it is the more practical of the two models. And there is no physical proof that one of the models is right and the other wrong. Thank you.